Why don't we pray? Father God, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for a good morning of sitting under your word, the Bible. Thank you that we can spend time thinking about it, and pray, Lord, that your word will be precious to us. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Now, I don't know if any of you are Harry Potter fans. I never read the books, but I've watched all the movies. I'm the lazy version. And in Chamber of Secrets, there's a pretty depressing start there where Harry's auntie and uncle and his cousin treat him like rubbish. And you might remember that if you've seen it. Like he's a burden and a complete loser. And for Harry, it felt like nobody cared for him. No one at all. And you might have been in a similar sort of situation where you felt like that at some stage or another, where you felt like, yeah, I don't think anybody really even knows that I'm around, or, you know, I just feel like I'm invisible. For our sponsor children, for many of the kids we work with, they're living in the poorest of poor situations. They're not, they don't have the opportunities that kids do like in Australia. And often they're fending for themselves. Maybe dad's left and left mum with five kids to look after. And they really feel like nobodies. But what if somebody loved you greatly and been writing letters to you and trying to contact you? Someone who was sharing how greatly loved you were and cared for, but you never got the text message. You never got the email. You never got the post. Like in Harry Potter, he got no letters, he got no correspondence, and he was all by himself. But in reality, his friends had been writing to him constantly. Is this ringing any bells from the movie? And we discover that Dobby the house elf had been keeping the letters from Harry. The reality was that his friends loved him lots, and they'd been writing heaps of letters to him over and over again, but he never knew that. If that made no sense to you, don't worry about it. Now, in Nehemiah, we see the Israelites were in a very similar sort of situation. This is 587 BC, and Judah, who are the people of God, they were smashed. They were defeated by the Babylonian Empire. They were the world empire of the time, and the Babylonians completely destroyed them, ruled over them. Many of the leaders and the ruling class of Judah were taken from their home country and forced to live in Babylon. And the temple of the Lord, which is where they worshipped God, that was obliterated and destroyed. And so that's the heart of the Jewish faith, and the heart of the unity of the people were flattened. And Judah became just like a small little outpost of the Babylonian Empire. So many, if not most people, thought, well, Judah and the whole of the Jewish faith has become just a footnote in history. And so you can only imagine how they would have felt. See, God promised to Abraham that his descendants, Jewish people, God, the Israelites, were going to be the chosen people of God, through whom God was going to reconcile, bring the whole world to himself. They were told by God that they were precious to him, they were much loved by him, but they look around and everything said the complete opposite. So this is the situation God's people find themselves in back at this stage. But during this 50-year exile from their homeland, they began to realize slowly and surely that God had not finished with them. These people remained the people of God despite everything that had happened, despite all appearances. God's people remained the legitimate heirs to his promises. And it's in this book of Nehemiah that we witness Nehemiah and the people of God, despite tough opposition, taking hold of the promises that were given to them as the people of God. Now, from an economic point of view, we live in a pretty awesome country. We have a very good quality of life in Australia. We've got friends who are missionaries in Tanzania, and we caught up with them a couple of months ago, and the wife said, you know, living in Australia, she's Australian, she said, living in Australia, it's awesome. Everything is awesome. Anything you can imagine. So she said, streets are awesome. The roads are awesome. The government's awesome. The food's awesome. The water's awesome. Anything you can imagine is awesome in Australia. And so having been to Tanzania, we sort of get what she means, because everything there is, well, most things aren't that awesome. But we have it pretty awesome here in Australia. And so we live in a country where we've got pretty much everything we need. And so we can often think about, you know, just going it alone without God. What do we really need him for? But then every now and then, God reminds us that first and foremost, we need Him. Have you ever felt like that? A desperate need to hear from God. And it's often not until something big happens or distressing or uncertain happens in our life. Now for those in the developing world, it might be that your house blows down in a typhoon and you've got no way of getting it fixed, or your baby contracts malaria. In Australia, it might be where relationships break down, or a family member or yourself struggles with severe depression. And once again, like in Nehemiah's time, God's people come back to God. Come back to the Creator who's in control of all things and loves His people. And so we see this great news rediscovered in Nehemiah. And if you're following along in the notes, that's the point one, the great news rediscovered. So occasionally God speaks audibly to one of His prophets, like when Jesus spoke to Paul on the Damascus Road in a vision. But God, the way God promises to speak to all people, to you and me and all people, is through His word, the Bible, the scriptures. And so the Israelites, in their desperation, in their captivity, they call Ezra to come and read them the scriptures, because that's how God promises to speak to His people. And they knew Ezra. He was a man committed to the word of God, committed to reading it, committed to obeying it and teaching it to others. And so they took the initiative to have him come and read out the law, the first five books of the Old Testament. And who wouldn't want to love the chance to share that? This is the word of the living God, their creator, the one who made them, the one who called them to be His people. And Ezra knows there's nothing better than people who want to hear from their God. He knows there's nothing better than people who know they need to hear from God. You know, God's people then are just like us and people in every country. We find it so easy to forget our need for God and our need for His word. And it gets like that, don't you think, when there's just so much going on. So much exciting new things. It's informative. I can get a new iPhone 5C or what's the other one, 5S. I've got to make a decision because it's going to change my life. It's going to be awesome. Or we've got a new government. Let's get really excited about that. Or there's this new self-help book that's coming out and it looks unreal. It's going to change my life. But these things are no answer. And in Nehemiah's time, they discover that again. They didn't have the iPhone 5C to deal with, but I don't think it would have helped them either. So Nehemiah 8 verse 1, it says, all the people assembled as one group, as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the law had commanded for Israel. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of men, women and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. So what's so great about this book of the law, the word of God? Well, for the Jews, they knew they needed God. They were solely trusting in God alone in this hostile situation, being occupied by the vicious Babylonians and completely at their mercy. They were trying desperately to try and restore the temple and the walls of Jerusalem so they could return to worshipping God the way He called them to do that at that time. And all the while they're facing this extremely violent opposition and their lives are at risk. Just like many of the countries that Compassion works in. So India, Indonesia, Bangladesh. Now what do you think would motivate thousands of Christians today to join together in the middle of Sydney, maybe Martin Place or something like that, and have the Bible read aloud for 6 hours straight, from daybreak until noon, and then to do it 5, 6, 7 days in a row? Well, if we lived in a part of the world where we would be arrested for doing what we're doing this morning, looking at the Bible, what Bruce does every week, teaching the Bible, preaching salvation through faith alone in Christ alone, if our ministers in our churches and Bible study leaders at Waitara Anglican were in jail facing the death penalty like pastors are in many of the developing worlds, that might motivate us back to the Word of God. Or it might be something else. Maybe when we're feeling overwhelmed or out of place or lonely or lost, that might motivate us back to God and His Word. Sometimes your situation reminds you that we have nowhere else to go. There's no self-help book, no motivational speaker can ultimately do anything for us. The only place we can go is to God and His words of strength and comfort. And the Israelites knew that here in this treasure that they have in their hands. They knew that the Bible is God's divine truth shared with mortals, God revealing Himself, God sharing Himself. This is God's communication to humans. And they rediscovered that good news. God speaking clearly, comfortingly, authoritatively, and lovingly to His people. The Scriptures are the only trustworthy source to understand God and His plan for His people. And that's an incredible treasure they knew that they had. And that's why they called Ezra up to read it for them. You know, wouldn't they be arrogant lunatics just to ignore their Creator and just go it alone in that situation, trying to work things out by themselves? Now, I have a little confession to make. Up until a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't change the time on my car clock radio. Does anyone else struggle? Has anyone else got a Hyundai and can't change? My goodness. So daylight savings comes, you know, the time changes obviously, and now I spent 6 months, no lie, 6 months driving around worrying, am I an hour early or am I an hour late to the things I'm getting to? I could never quite work it out. And, you know, a wise person would have got the instructions out of the glove box, step one. Step two, read the instructions and followed them. I didn't do that. So I spent 6 months just hoping that the time would change soon. But the Israelites knew that. They knew, why go it alone? Why go it alone? They've got the words of eternal life, the manual from our Maker, the very words of God. And how incredible that is for a people who are struggling and suffering and lost without God. And the awesome news is that we've got it too. The word from our Creator. So why do we try and wing it? Why do we live like we're alone? Why do we live like we know more than the one who made all things? Why do we search elsewhere for the very blueprint of life? In the Scriptures, the Bible is the good news from the one who loves you and wants you to trust Him, the one who is completely trustworthy. So grab a hold of the Bible, God's Word, and don't let go. Rediscover that good news for yourself. We think this is so important both here in Australia but throughout the world. And that's why God's Word is at the heart of the Compassion Projects. God's Word is at the heart of what we do day in, day out on the field as we teach these children. We read their Bibles with them because hope's found only in God and in His words to us. So I can encourage you today, download a Bible to your phone, to your iPad or to your PC. Put a hard copy. I like to carry one around because I always run out of batteries and everything. Put a hard copy in your backpack. Join a Bible study group. Go to your Bible study group if you're in one. Come to church, listen in church, because these are the words of God. So it should be no surprise that the people of God crowd into the city and listen to Ezra read the Bible day in and day after day. Well, what a great gift God has given His people. So let's rediscover and grab hold of it. Well, what happens next? Well, the next is great news is praised. Now, have you ever had to sit through a school awards night and it's been like a pulling teeth, you know, just sitting there for hours and hours and think, oh, my goodness, this is never going to end. Or you've gone to a wedding and you've heard a best man speech. I went to one once and I wish the ground would open up and take me right then. It was terrible, horrifying, in fact. So what's the response here for Ezra? He gets to the stage, he gets the word of God out to read in the public square. So what happens? Is it a complete clangor? Is it cringe-worthy? Or is it a bore fest? Do they all just snuggle into their pews for a bit of a snooze? Well, verse 6 there in chapter 8. So verse 5, he opens the book, verse 6. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Well, as Ezra reads from the law, the people love the words of God. They love what they heard. And why wouldn't they? People seeking direction about how to live as God's people in a hostile world where they're nobodies. As individuals who are overjoyed once again to be reminded from God that they're loved by Him. That He's working His promises out through His people. Do you get excited like these guys about the chance to hear God speaking through His word? We should be just as excited as them about having the chance to hear the Bible. Just as excited as the kids and the families and the compassion projects when they get a Bible for the first time. What a privilege to soak up the very words of our Creator and to be able to say, Amen, Amen, and bow down and worship Him, praise God. You know, in 2011 to 12, that financial year, Compassion's church partners on the ground distributed 249,795 Bibles to Compassion-assisted children and their families. So if you're trying to work that, that's about a quarter of a million Bibles. That's an awesome delivery, isn't it? It's like finding out for the first time that God has written His word to you. He's written to you, but the mail's just been delayed. Or you didn't get the SMS, but it's finally arrived. And for these families, oh wow, what a blessing that has been for them. And we sponsors like you sponsor 1.4 million children. And every child gets a Bible. Every family has a Bible. What great news it is for them, that good news. Discovering that God loves them, that He has an eternal plan for those who trust Him and follow Him. Discovering that through the Bible, that God loves them so much that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to pay the price for their sins on the cross and to enable them to be in right relationship with Him. You know, hearing for the first time that even though your home's on a garbage dump, and you spend your life sorting through other people's bags of rotting garbage, discovering God's word that He doesn't think you're a piece of rubbish, that you're loved by Him, that He has a plan for His people and for those who trust Him. That is awesome news. So we praise the Lord that He speaks to us and He doesn't leave us without hope and without God. So what happened in the end? What was the reaction for the people? Well, verse 7, the Levites, and then the name there, they instructed the people of the law while making it, while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so people understood what was being read. Then down to verse 12, then all the people went away to eat and to drink and send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Well, through different circumstances, God reminds us of our need for Him and His word. In our sorrow, in our pride, in our ignorance, in our weakness, in all things, He reminds us of our need for Him and His word. And it's a real blessing, isn't it, that God has given fellow Christians to help us, just in, with like the Levites did, to help us learn and understand the Bible. Who are people like that in your life? Well, obviously, church is a great place to come. And let me commend this church to a great church. Maybe Bible study, good Christian books. They all help us read and understand these amazing words of God for us. And there's three things that we get out of the word of God particularly. One is that we can discover salvation. As Simon Peter says to Jesus, Lord, to who else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. This is the place we find eternal life and salvation in Christ. Messiah Jesus, the one who'd been waiting to be revealed, has come. And we can find out we're even better than those guys who had the Bible read to them back then because we've got the New Testament. We hear about Jesus, the one who they've been waiting for. As Colossians encourages us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another, as you encourage one another. Let's continue to do that. And let's grow in godliness, as it says in 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Bible is not like mag wheels. It's not like an optional extra. It's central to our life as God's children. It's God-breathed, equips us for every good work. In sad times, in confusing times, in uncertain times, and in good times. So why would we go to anywhere else? We've nothing better for ourselves and to offer children throughout the world. It's an incredible blessing to have God's word front and central. Well, why don't we pray that God's word will be front and central to everything that we do, will remain central to who we are as individuals, who you are as a church, and every decision we make, and central to who we are as we reach out throughout the world. So let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible, to us. It's so easy to take it for granted, Lord, but thank you for the reminder again this morning that the Bible, that your Bible is your word, the word of God to us, and we praise you for that. Now, Father, we thank you that you haven't left us alone, that you speak clearly to us. And Lord, we thank you that you bring us the good news of salvation through Jesus. We praise you for that good news. And Lord, please help us to hold on to Jesus and hold on to your word. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.